Today she is Masechta Chulin Daf Nun Tes. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph Tapir Amud. Amar Yehuda Haiman Dachla Tilsa Tlosa Tikli Chiltes Aliba Rekana. Somebody who will eat the weight of 3 gold coins of Chiltes on an empty stomach. Mishtalach Mashchei. What's going to happen is his skin will fall off his body because this chiltis causes the body to become very hot, and that heat that the body's experiencing causes that his skin should fall off. Am Rav Avuah, to which Rav Avuah says, but the di have a uvda, I once experienced v'achli chad tilkla tilsa, and I ate only 1 measure of the weight of a gold coin of chiltis. If not that I had sat down immediately in cold water, my skin would have fallen off my body. But the fact that I was able to quickly jump into that cold water, I fulfilled what the pasuk says in Koheles. The pasuk says, "Ki betzela chachma betzela kesef, v'yisrin dasa chachma techaya ba'leha." By knowing something, and by knowing that I was in danger, and I knew to cool myself off, that's how I saved myself. And the way I saw, the Rashi explains that somebody who is smart is also likely to become wealthy. He says, because intelligence, he says, will teach you to do the right thing. But he goes further to say, yes, having money will help you have the ability to enjoy life, etc. But being smart, having wisdom, is even more important, because by having wisdom, you could have life, as we just learned. The Mashah explains that what he was really saying is, he learned that this is the way to remedy himself from what he learned from the Torah. And the Torah is free. And he quotes the Medrash. The Mashal quotes the Medrash, that the Medrash says, Nimshlo Torah l'mayim, the Torah is compared to water. Ma mayim b'chinam, water is free or quite inexpensive. Af Torah b'chinam. So somebody who here, he was able to quickly jump into water, which doesn't really involve much. And here he was able to do so and without real expenditure and save himself. Moreover, another pshat I saw, that sometimes you need to have money to pay for your medical needs. But when you have chachma, especially that chachma that's based on learning Torah, that is the kind of refuah that won't cost you a lot of money. Somebody who ate 16 eggs, v'arba amuzgi, and 4 walnuts, v'shev bitzah d'pirchi, and 7 seeds of a fruit that's called tzlaf, capers, v'shasi revius d'dufsha, and then he drinks with this a revius of honey betkufas tamis in the summer, liba rekana, on an empty stomach, misaka taya de liba. The connection of his heart to his body gets weakened. How about Tavya? Says the Gemara, there was a young deer, Das Lebe Resh Galusa, that was brought to the home of Resh Galusa, Dava Masik Karana Besraisa, that the back legs of the bottom part of the back legs of this animal was severed. And they went from Resh Galusa's home to ask Rav, what is the status of this tzvi? Says the Marbatke Rabbi Tzumas Agidin, as we've been discussing, there are the 16 ligaments at the bottom of the foot, and they checked the Tzumas Agidin, and to check, as we said, because if they're severed, the animal is considered a treifa, and they checked, says the Gemara, the Tzumas Agidin, and they found that all the Tzumas Agidin are perfectly fine. And therefore, based on that, Rav was ready to say that this is kosher. And Rav wanted to eat it when it's not no, it's not very roasted. What he wanted to do was salt the meat and then broil it. The bumtza, the Rishonim say, normally means raw. But here it can mean raw, just he meant to say that he didn't want to over-roast it, and therefore he just preserved it in salt and roasted it a little. Amalei Shmuel, so Shmuel said to Rav, L'chai Shmuel and Kurei, aren't you concerned that this animal was bitten by a snake in its bag leg? And therefore, even though there is no treifa concern, but there's a sakonas nefashis concern because you have the venom of the snake in this meat. Amalei, so Rav asked Shmuel, Maitakanta, how can we know what is the status of a meat, if it's dangerous, if it's poisonous or not? He said, Noisa b'teru de'i bodik nafshe. He said, put it into a furnace and roast it there. And you'll be able to see from the meat alone if there's a problem. Indeed, says the Gemara Osvay, he put this meat into the furnace, and nofel tilchei tilchei, pieces of meat fell off. And that was all because of the venom that was in that meat. Kar Shmuel alei the Rav, lo'yuna l'tzadik kalovin. That Kadosh Baruch Hu watches the tzadik that he shouldn't, Rashi explains, that he shouldn't eat something which is usur. You know, it turned out that you weren't allowed to eat the meat. He says, and moreover, I saw the Mashal explains, as we've learned in our Masechta, since there's a rule, Chamir Sakanta Misura, so it was also obviously not something you were allowed to eat. But the Gemara is focusing on the Sakana part more than the Issa part, because as we learned, Chamir Sakanta Misura. Says the Gemara, and Kari Rav Aleid Shmuel, and Rav proclaimed about Shmuel, Karoz Loi Honestly. There's no secret that you can't find out, and you are smarter than all the smart people in the world. The Ben Yoyad explains that actually Shmuel was a doctor, and what he was able to know here, how to check this meat, is not really something so special. What was special was that Rav never ate normally this kind of meat, and Rav normally didn't eat by Sudas Rishus because he was always concerned about the kashrus. He was always cautious of the meat. And Rav never publicized that concern. He used to say that he doesn't eat because he doesn't want to eat meat only by Sudas Mitzvah. And when he used to come to Sudas Mitzvah, that he explains, Rav would come up with another excuse why not to eat meat. Here, however, as the Gemara began, we're speaking about a tzvi, a deer. And as we learned, and will a mitzvah learn, the chalev of a deer is mutter, it's a chaya. And therefore, he was more prepared to eat tzvi meat than to eat any other meat. But still, because he was concerned that not all the blood was properly removed, he wanted to have it roasted. Shmuel, however, taught Rav that just like you always find an excuse not to eat regular meat because of the kashrus concern, here too, even if there isn't a direct kashrus concern, there's a sakana concern. And Rav was so thankful to Shmuel that Shmuel was able to understand what Rav's concern was. And after he was able to understand what Rav's concern was, he prepared Rav and he saved Rav from eating something which could have been most dangerous for him to eat. Begins the Mishnah. Samani behemah v'chaya, nemar min haTorah. When we speak about a kosher animal, behemah v'chaya, the Torah, those simanim are mentioned in the Torah. We know that the simanim of a kosher animal and a chaya are malagera, it chews its cud, or mafras parsa, it has split hooves. Simani oif, however, says the Gemara, the signs of make a kosher bird, loy nemra, not stated explicitly. Ava omr chachamim. So in order to identify what birds may we eat and what birds may we not eat, say chazal kol oif adoiris, any oif which is a doiris that tramples a victim, and we'll speak about this a lot, tamei, is considered a non-kosher meat. It's considered non-kosher meat. And our Gemara comes to teach us the halacha of all the various, what's a kosher animal, what's a kosher chaya, what's a kosher fish, kosher bird. And there's a mitzvah, l'havdol, that we should differentiate ben atomei ben ator, between what's kosher and what's not kosher, ben chaya nechalas ben chaya shloy nechalas, between what's eaten, which we may eat and which we may not eat. Some suggest that this mitzvah is really based because just to make sure that we won't eat something which is not kosher. Others explain that there's a specific mitzvah. There's a specific mitzvah to identify to before one eats, to identify what is kosher and what is not kosher. And many Rishonim explain the reason for that mitzvah is because when somebody eats something not kosher, it is metamtem libe shel adam. It hardens our spiritual heart. And not only is metamtem libe shel adam, but all of our behavior, our midos, and everything is affected by eating non-kosher food. The Chinuch says that what will be the halacha if somebody did not properly check if what he's eating is kosher, but it turns out that what he's eating is kosher, what will be the halacha? And the Chinuch suggests that even if he ended up eating kosher meat, the halacha is that by not having checked, he's over on a mitzvah asay. Moreover, the Rivash points out that there are so many different conditions on what makes an animal kosher or not kosher, etc., then we cannot just rely on what we think. We have an obligation to investigate. The Ramban says, why, as we just said, when we speak about a behema, an animal which is malagera, mafras, parsa, are kosher. So the Ramban says that the meat and the fat of these animals and the milk of these animals is an entirely different type of milk and meat of non-kosher animal. And he says that there have been, he even suggests that there are medical proof to that point. The Rambam, I think, takes a very different approach. The Rambam's approach is, it's not a medical issue. It's not a scientific issue. It's something that the Torah identifies what is kosher and what is not kosher, what may we eat and what may we not eat, and then it becomes our obligation to follow what it says in the Torah. So we learned that one of the simonim of a kosher animal is malagera. A malagera is an animal because, as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem and our Shir, does not have as many teeth as another animal. So that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why it has to constantly chew its food. And because it's constantly chewing its food, and it's digesting and chewing its food, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu want us to eat that type of food. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to eat food that was well digested. Others explain, as we just learned, that all these animals that are kosher are more gentle than other animals. And because they're more gentle than other animals, as we just learned, the Torah is concerned that by what we eat has a direct influence on whom we are. And therefore, because the HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to eat food that will have a positive influence on us, that's why these foods cause us to have better midas. The Marfas Parsa says that the fact that the hoofs on the leg are split, so what that happens, it also is a type of animal that will not claw as much with its foot another leg, another animal. And others explain that it's an animal that is not that strong. It doesn't, it's not that strong. It can't attack. And an animal that's not going to attack is the kind of teva, is the kind of behavior we want to inculcate in our body. So he said, when we speak about an oif, the halacha is, if it's a doiris, then it's tameh. As we will see in our Gemara, the doiris, from all the simonim of what makes a bird kosher or not kosher, the most prominent of those is by bird, is it a doiris or is it a not? And the Ramban explains that, of course, an animal that is a doiris has a terrible temperament. And an animal with such a terrible temperament is something which is toiris. The next example, says the Gemara, is kol sheyesh boi etzbe yisera. If a bird has an extra finger, and there are many explanations. Some explain that if it doesn't have an extra finger, so it's actually a stronger leg, and because it's a stronger leg, that's why it is more dangerous. And again, something which we're concerned about. That's the zefek. It has a zefek, as we've been explaining. The zefek is the gizzard where the food goes to before it's digested, and kurkovin niklef, and it has the kurkovin that could be easily peeled. So this also I saw a simonim of tahara, because the more it's able to digest the food, so then it's a better type of food for us to eat. Of course, as we have this discussion and we're learning by birds and by animals, we're learning what are the simonim of a kosher bird and all the others. There's a very famous fundamental question: Are these simonim? That means, are these simonim? This is a sign that this is a kosher animal, but it's not a siba. It's not what makes the animal or the bird, etc., kosher. Or is it a siba? Or is it the fact that it has it that makes it kosher? And this, of course, is a very important question, particularly b'zman hazeh, because through genetic testing, through the genetic engineering, a lot of animals and fish and birds don't look like they looked originally. And now the question is, how does the halacha look at this situation? Does the halacha say that if it comes from a kosher parents, then it's kosher even though it doesn't have the simonim? Or is it a siba? And if there is no siba, then the halacha is that we should not, then if it doesn't have the simonim, even though we know from where it comes, we will not be able to treat it as a kosher species. Says the Mishnah, Rav Elazar bar Tzadok Omer, kol oif acholikus raglov, any bird that when you put it on top of a string, it splits its fingers, it puts on two fingers on one side of the string and two fingers on the other side of the string, such a bird is tamei. And Rashi explains why is so, because Rashi says, "Biyadua shu doiris." It's certain if the bird splits his legs, then it's a simon, it's a proof that it's a doiris. So according to this, I saw that some of Farshim point out the question that we just spoke about a moment ago, are the simonim a simon or a siba? This is a raya that they're a siba. Because the bird has this characteristic, that's why it's considered a doiris. So it's not just a simon, it's actually a siba. B'chagovim, midaraisa, there are certain grasshoppers which we may eat. And how does a kosher grasshopper look? Kosher eshloi arba reglayim, it has four legs, v'arba knafayim, and four wings. For katsulim, are long legs that are on top of the other legs, next to the neck. That means besides the four legs it normally has, it also has two more legs, which help him move around on the ground. Knof of Chayfin Srubov, its wing cover most of the body of the grasshopper. All of these are simonim that this is tahor, that this is a kosher chagav. Rav Yosef says the way to, one of the other things to look for, a shmoy chagav, that it has the name chagav. If it's called a chagav, that's a proof that it's kosher. Says the Mishnah further, bedogim, when we speak about fish, then the halacha is koye shloy snap of a kaskeses. It has fins and scales. Rav Yehuda says it has to have shnei kaskasim. It has to have two scales, the snapper achod and one fin. Ve'elan kaskasim. What is the definition of kaskasim? Kvun boy, which are there all the time. Snapperim perekbem are used for the fish to swim. When it says the kaskeses is there all the time, it doesn't mean that you can't get the kaskeses off. It means that the kaskeses remains on the fish. The kaskeses remains on the fish without all the time. And in order to get it off, you have to be able to peel it off. And in fact, there's a famous discussion that the Noid of Yehuda has about a certain type of fish. And they looked at the fish, and he saw that it's not like the regular fish. It had two rows of kaskasim on two sides, but it didn't take a lot to take off those kaskasim. And the question is, since it didn't take a lot to take it off, then what's the halacha? It took a lot to cut the kaskasim off. And the question is, since it took a lot to take the kaskasim off, are they considered kaskasim or not? And actually, the psak of the Noid of Yehuda is that it is considered kaskasim, but this was a controversial question. Tana Rabbanan begins the Braisa Eilin Simona Behema. When we speak about what are the simonim of Behema, Kol Mafresas Parsa, any animal that has split hooves, v'shashas shesa. Kol behemah shemal agera. If you have an animal that you know is a malagera that chews its cud, then b'yidua, there's a fact, as a fact, you could also know, shenalai shnaim lamala, it does not have a teeth in the upper part of its mouth, and that's why it's tahira. Ask the Gemara, v'klolahu, is that a hard and fast rule? V'ere gomol, when we speak about the gomol, the camel, the malagerahu, it's considered an animal that's malagera, ve'en l'shnaim l'mala, and it doesn't have teeth on top, and tameh, and still considered tameh. So you see that the teeth is not the raya one way or the other. Answers the Gemara, nomol says, gomol, when we speak about a camel, nive isle, it has on the side of the top of the mouth, in the front, sharp teeth, which help him chew the food. So ask the Gemara ben Gomel, but a young camel, the Nivinamilesli, it doesn't have that, and yet it's non-kosher. Vesu, furthermore, ask the Gemara, Shofen va'neves, the Malagerahein, the Malagerahein, v'yeshlem shneim l'mala, they have teeth on the bat, they have tooth, teeth on the top, v'entameim, and we see that we see from here there is no hard and fast rule that an animal smaligera doesn't have top teeth. Void shnayim mikse baraisa. Furthermore, asked the Gemara, the Torah never mentioned the halacha of shnayim. Since the Torah never mentioned the halacha of shnayim, why is this becoming the determining factor of the kashrus of the animal? Says the Gemara, come, this is the way to understand. If it doesn't have tooth on the bottom, such an animal chooses its cut into mefresh parsa tahira. Ask the Gemara. So if that's the case, that we're relying on the split hooves. So ask the Gemara. Why shouldn't we just check if it has split hooves? And of course, the mefreshim all point out that will only be an option if you are an individual that knows what's a chazer.
So if you know what's a chazer and you know that this is, because a chazer, as we're going to learn, we know is non-kosher, even though it has split hooves. So we have to be dealing with an individual that can know that this animal is not a chazer. So if it's not a chazer, if you know it's not a chazer and you see that it has split hooves, that's all that you should be concerned about. And since the Gemara, we're speaking about a situation, kigoyim, where it has the hooves are cut off. Obviously, they're cut off, says Rashi, in a way, as we've been discussing in our shurim, that will not affect the tzumas hagidim. And therefore, that's not a way to test it. Moreover, we see from here, says the Meiri, that of course, if we could evaluate the animal that we want to know if it's kosher or non-kosher, by looking at the simonim that the Torah tells us, that is what's best. Our Gemara is referring to a situation where that is not an option. Because the Gemara is Rav Chisda taught us. Rav Chisda, how he mahalch in midbar, somebody's traveling in the midbar, or matz behem mishe perseh chatuches, and he finds an animal that's hooves are cut off, by the Gbafi, you should check the mouth. And like Shnayim Amala, if it doesn't have teeth, on top, b'yidushi toira, it's a kosher animal. From lav, b'yidushi tmeya, but b'vash yak a gomel, because we have to be careful that it shouldn't be a gomel, because a gomel doesn't have teeth. As the Gemara, gomel niviously, the gomel has these teeth on the side, so why should we be concerned? Ella, said the Gemara, indeed. A camel, we're not going to have this concern. But what we have to be concerned about is Bavach Yaka Ben Gomel, because a young calf, a young camel, as we said before, does not have the teeth on the side. Says the Gemara, Lami Amrit. So ask the Gemara, how could we rely on what the Gemara, on what we're saying, that we have to look if it has teeth or not? Lav Amrit Ika Ben Gomel, have we not been saying throughout that if it has no teeth, it's going to be considered kosher? But we also been saying that a Ben Gomel doesn't have those teeth. So says the Gemara, moreover, says the Gemara, we should be concerned that just like there's a Ben Gomel that has no teeth, maybe there's another animal that has no teeth. And therefore, how can we rely on this examination? Answers the Gemara Lesal Kedata. We need not be concerned. The Tani de Be'er of Shmo, the Pasuk says, Achazele techelu mimala ageru mafrisi aparso, ves agomol kimala geruhu oparso ena mafris, tamelu lechem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the Shalat Balomai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the one that controls the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's the one that controls the entire world, Yedea knows that there never has been and never will be. Shein lecham dover malagerim v'tamei, there's no animal that chews its cud and is non-kosher el gomel. L'fikach par nakos of hu, and therefore we need not be concerned that maybe there's another animal. So I saw many mefarshim ask, what is the Gemara, particularly over here, calling HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shalat Balomai? So they explain, the Malbim and the Torah Tumima, they explain that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's strength in the world is shown through the Torah. And the way it's shown through the Torah is by what it says in the Torah and by following the Torah. And if the Torah over here says, you can be confident that there is no other animal that is, chews its cud that's not kosher than a gomel, that shows the power of the Torah, the power of Torah min ha-shamayim. V'amar chizda ha-imahalch b'darach. If somebody was traveling, or matza b'ayim v'shapir gomel, somebody, you find an animal that has cut gums, and you can't determine what is the situation with its teeth, v'adik v'per seha, check the hooves. It process, because if you see split hooves, b'yiduyishu Torah. V'im lav, if it's full, if they're not split, you do shetmeya. But this is all predicated that you know how to identify if it's a chazir. Says the Gemara the same question. So now we said that there's a chazir that has split hooves, but doesn't choose its cud. So ask the Gemara, lav amit ikka chazir, that there's such an animal chazir. So why should we not be concerned, ask the Gemara, the ikka nami min achrina, the daimil chazir, that there's another animal that has split hooves and doesn't chew its cud? Answers the Gemara the same teretz. Lo yisal kedatak the Tanya Rabbi Shmuel. The pasuk says v'zachazik imafres parsahu, and says the Gemara shalat b'layama yedaya. Hakadosh Baruch Hu knows and taught us. Shein l'chadovish imafres parsahu tamei. There is no animal that is mafres parsa that has split hooves and is non kosher el chazir al fikach. That's why the Torah is comfortable in using the word hu. V'amar chizda hayi mahalch midbar. If you're traveling, and you find an animal that you can't determine by what's going on in its mouth, and you can't tell from the hooves, another test you could do is look at the meat. If the meat goes both horizontal, the grain of the meat goes both horizontally and vertically, it's kosher. Vimlav, Bidusha Tamaya, Ovad Shiaker Arud. Arud is a wild donkey, and that animal goes horizontally and vertically, even though it's not kosher. So the Shalsa Chuvis Rivosh asks the question. Arud is very uncommon, and most of the animals that meat go horizontally and vertically are kosher. So why can't we rely on Roiv? And here the Rivash says something that we began our suya with. And that is that the Torah Kedoshah says that there's a mitzvah for us not to eat. We may not eat until we check. Just saying, well, api Roiv, it's kosher, will not be adequate. The Chasam Sofer gives a different teretz. The Chasam Sofer says that here we're talking about somebody's traveling in the Midbar. Yes, the Rivash is correct that arud is a kind of animal that's very uncommon to find. But the Chasam Sofer says that in the Midbar, it's not that uncommon. And therefore, in the Midbar, we can't rely on the Roiv. The Shevet Sofer says that this Gemara is a proof to a concept that we've also discussed, that whenever we can make our own independent evaluation, then we have obligation to do our own evaluation, not just rely on Roiv. Ask the Gemara, Lav Amr, and moreover, I saw that the Paiskim point out that if somebody is shechting an animal, and when he's shechting the animal, he doesn't know the status of that animal, says the Shach, he should not make the bracha on the Shechita because it might be a bracha of Atala. But ask the Gemara, Lav Amrit Ikarud, we've just identified there's an Arud which has meat that goes horizontally and vertical. Ask the Gemara, should we not be concerned that there's another type of meat that also has that's not kosher, that looks like this? Ask the Gemara, Deleka. There is no other animal that's like that. Ask the Gemara, and how is this examination of checking the meat done? We look under the tail of the animal, and that's where we'll see how, that's the place to check for the grain of the meat. We learned in the Mishnah that the simani behemah v'chayim nemra min haTorah. Tana bana elu simani chayim. So before the Gemara continues in the Braisa, so ask the Gemara, what's the question? Chayim b'chal behemah l'simanim. Isn't the chaya part of the behemah family? And since the chaya is in the behemoth family, why is there any question? Just whatever the simanim of behemoth are will be the simanim of a chaya. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Zeira, lahat techelba. There's a very important point in this Gemara, and what the Gemara is trying to accomplish is that we have a behemoth, which is a domesticated animal, versus a chaya, which is a non-domesticated animal. That's the way Devin Ezra explains. The Ramban explains that behemoths eat grass and chayas eat meat. So that is the difference between a behemoth. That's the way to know what's a behemoth and a chaya. It says the Gemara, but there's a halachic difference between behemoth and chaya. Because by a chaya, lahat techalba. The halach is we're allowed to eat the chaylev of a chaya, midaraisa, but not by a behemoth. And that, says the Gemara, is what the Braisa means to teach us. How will we know that an animal is a chaya and the chaylev is mutter? says the Gemara, says the Brass of Kol Sheyesh Loi Kenayim, if it has horns, V'Talfayim, it has nails on its hooves. Once you see it has the horns, you need not do any further investigation. But yesh lo tefayim, just because it has tefayim, that isn't conclusive proof. Tzarech atalachs al kanayim, you also have to look for the kanayim. So our Gemara has just taught us that even though what makes a behemah rechaya kosher is the same, there are different halachas by behemah versus a chaya. The first halacha, as we just said, the behemah doesn't have has chel, the chaya does not. Another difference is the behemah is brought on the mizbeach, a chaya is not. The halacha of Oisip Espinoi, that we're not allowed to kill a mother and its child in the same day, only applies by behemahs, not by chayas. By chaya, there's a din of kisui adam, that after we have to cover the blood. By behemah, there is no such halacha. By behemah, there's a din of zroi l'chayim v'keva. The forearm, the cheek meat, and the stomach meat have to be given to a kohen. By chayah, that doesn't happen. The halacha is that ma'isusheni, when somebody has ma'isusheni funds that he brings to Yerushalayim to buy food, he could buy chayah meat with that money. But behemah, he can't buy behemah meat. If he wants behemah meat, he's going to have to bring the behemah as a carbon shlomim and then get the portion of meat that he's entitled to. There's a din of b'chor by behemah. There is no chiyah b'chor by chaya. The behemah has a halacha of ma'isa behemah, that we have to take off a tenth animal every year. There is no such halacha by chaya. The halacha by behemah, as the Torah teaches us in Parashas Mishpatim, if somebody steals a behemah, the tofcha or machri, he shechts it, sells it, he has to pay dal v'hei. It doesn't apply by chaya. The halacha, according to some opinions, is about Evan Menachai. Ramey's opinion, we're going to learn later in the Masechta, is that Evan Menachai only applied by behemoths, not by chayas. Another nafkamina is, why would be halacha if somebody made a neder on Manas that something is a chaya? He says, if this is a chaya, I'll be a nazir or whatever else. If it's a behemah and a chaya, the Gemara Masech, the Dharm teaches us, are two separate classes, and therefore he will not become a nazir. The keresh, says the Gemara, there is a type of a chaya which is called a keresh. The rabbi she'en loy, it doesn't have two kanayim, el keren achas, it only has one keren, the loch is mutter. Ask the Gemara, klolahu, is that true that anything that has horns and nails is a chaya? Ask them of Reyes, what about a goat? The yesh lo kanayim, it has horns and tofayim, and it's a behemah of a chel ba'asar. Answers the Gemara, kruchas binan. When we speak about an animal having horns that are problematic, it's only when they're kruchas, when they're going around, when they go around. If they don't go around and around, they're not considered a keren. Ask the Gemara, sure, but what about an axe? The kruchas, the horns are round, and yet it's a behemah of chel ba'asa. Answers the Gemara, charukas binan. We also need that the horn of a chaya has grooves in it, and the horn of a shor is smooth. Ask the Gemara, v'rei eis, but what about the goat, the charukas, that it has those grooves, the chel ba'asa? Answers the Gemara, we also need with fatzals binan, that the horn branches off into other horns, which we don't have. Ask the Gemara very tzvi, Dame Fatzolis, the horn of a deer where the horn where the horns don't branch off, the chelbamut is considered a chaya. Answers the Gemara, Haduras binin. We need that the ought to be a chaya that has to be sharp. And the horns of a tzvi are sharp, but the horns of the others are not sharp. Hilkach, says the Gemara, now that we've learned all these very many details. Says Mahechdam Fitzla, in a case where the horns branch off, loydina v'loydina, there's no question that that's going to be a chaya. Hecha deloy mitzvah, but where the horns don't branch off, be'inan kruchos, we need that they should be round. We need that they should be chaduros, sharp. We also need charutos, that they should have grooves. For who? And furthermore, when we speak about charukas, that it has those grooves, it has to be the type of grooves, the mivli charukaya, that the grooves go one into the other. And in fact, says the Gemara, there was a kind of fish, that there was a kind of goat that had carcass, and we're not exactly sure how to identify it because of these questions. The Shach says that even when it comes to chayis, we should rely only on a mesira. We're going to be learning extensively in our shiurim that particularly when we speak about birds, the only birds we eat are birds that have a mesira that we should eat them. The Shach says, because now that we've learned all these rules about the horns, the halacha is that we have this question. He says that, however, the Prima Godim says a different interpretation of the Shach. Prima Godim says, when it comes to eating the meat of a chaya, there's no question. If we see that we have an animal that's mafras parsa malagera, that is an animal we may eat from. The Shach was speaking about Hilchas Chalef. But the Chazon Ish says that both the Chochmas Adam and the Aruch HaShulchan are of the opinion that even by a Chaya, we may not eat a Chaya because of all the issues that we just raised regarding the horns, we may not eat a Chaya unless we have a Mesoira that that's a kosher Chaya. But if not, the Halacha is we're not allowed to eat it. Says Mar, he is a Karkus Davabei Resh Glusa. Says the Gemara, There was an Izer carcass in the home of Resh Galusa, Doka Malatzana the Tarbaminei, that they took out from it a basket full of chalev. Ravachi Asur, Ravachi said we may not eat that chalev because he said it might be an Ez, it might be a goat, and a goat obviously is, the goat is obviously a behema. Ravacha Asur, Rav Shulver Abba Ochmanei, he ate from it. Kaya Nafshi, and Rav Shmuel said about himself, Mipri Pi Ish Tisba Bitma, because he learned from his Rabbeim that chalev is mutter, that's why he's allowed to eat it. Says the Gemara Shulch Mitam, they sent from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Hilchas Kavasei the Shmuel Bereder Bavua, that the chalev of those Izim is mutter. However, and they said furthermore, this Hizara B'Rabbeinu, and be most careful in the cover that you show to him, Shemei Enei Gerlehu, he's such an incredible Talmud Chacham, and he lights up the entire Golus. And that's actually what happened. He came to Eretz Yisrael, he came to the Golus to teach him what's going on, how to protect him in this terrible Golus. Karish, we learned, Api, Shainlay El Karen Achas, even if it doesn't, he has one horn mutter. Amar Yehuda Keresh, Tavya. What's the definition of a Keresh? It's a Tzvi. The Be'eloi says it's a Tagris. Tagris, what's the Tagris? It's an Arya de Be'eloi. Amar Afganatesh Amso, have been Una Luna de Arya de Be'eloi. There are 9 Amis between the 2 ears of the Arya Be'eloi. Amr Yosef, Shitz Amsa, have a mashkut to have the belly. The length of this line is 16 Ams. There's a very interesting discussion by the close of Magareb Zatzal and the Shah Sachuvas Devar Yatzev, the Gemara speaking about a lion. And we know that we're not allowed to make images of animals. And the question is, in many shuls, they put up images of a lion with holding the two luchais on top of Darun Kodesh. And he says that the reason one should not make an image of a lion is because there were those that would worship these images. But he says, nobody's worshiping an image of lions holding the luchas. And moreover, he says, nowadays, there's really no one who's worshiping a lion. So therefore, all the concerns of Lesas L'chapesel, it's not a problem. Moreover, he says the only time it would really be a problem if you made an image of a lion, he says it's only if you have a full statue of a lion, for example. But if you're only making the profile of a lion, that is not a concern. That is not a concern. The Gemara said that somebody who ate because he had the right psak, the pasuk says, "Kara nafshi b'pri b'feish tizba natma tizba bitnai." He says, "So I saw the Rav Chaim Kanievsky says in the Sefer Derech Sicha." What it means to say is that somebody who's mechadish chedushe Torah, that person will be zoichet to have a Yeshua. That person, as Al Gemara says, is zoichet to have panosam. Amalei case of Rav Yeshua ben Chananya. It says, the case of the Roman Emperor said to Rav Yeshua ben Chananya, El kechem kari mosel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is compared to a lion. The ksiv arye shoag milo yarag. The lion roars, who won't be afraid? Hashem el kim diba milo yinove. Says the Gemara Marav Usei. What is this? What's so special about a lion? Parshakatl arye arye. A great warrior has the ability to kill a lion. So what makes comparing Hashem to a lion so great? Amalei lav kahay arye muscle. So he answered him. Rav Yeshua ben Chananya answered him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not compared to a regular lion. Ker arye de bei loy muscle. He's compared to the arye de bei loy that we're speaking about. Amalei bina de metzis nilei. So then he said that I want to see this lion. Amalei matzul lechzalei. You can't see it. Amalei ibrachazinalei. He says, I insist. Boy rachme. So Yeshua davened. It's akim educhtei. And the lion, this type of lion, wherever it is, came running. When it was from 400 parsi away from Rome, niim chad kala. It gave one roar. I feel a call my barata. All the pregnant women did miscarried. The shurim the Rome nafel, the wall of Rome fell down. Adam rachet tos mei parsi, when it was only 300 parsa away, nam kolachrina, it roared again. Nosa kiva v'shene de gavri, all of the teeth of the people in Rome fell out. Vafu nafel makarsi l'ara, and the emperor himself fell off his throne. Amalei b'metos menach, so he said, then I'm davening, I beg you, by racham del hadel aduchtei. Let it go back. I see that this is too ferocious. By Rachmelei, so Rav Shuba davened, Vahadra Lelasre, and went down. What happened over here was that this person, this Roman emperor, that didn't believe what Chazal teaches. And now he was able to prove that what the Chazal teaches is true. Another point that the Maram Shif makes is that what he was scared was that the lion will indeed come. And as we're learning now, the lion was extremely ferocious. And because it was so ferocious, he was confident that he'll have to ask for the lion to come back. And he knew that even if Rabbi Yeshua was successful in bringing the lion once, he won't be necessarily successful in getting the lion to go back where it came from. And therefore he said, forget about it, I don't want to see this lion.